And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, get this for a title, Ketchup. That's funny. Ketchup. Plus, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Also, when we recognize Jesus in today's Facebook post, see the honor from our King.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, just a little bit. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. Let me tell you something that happened. I'm just going to tell you right now. You want to hear something insane? So we've had the two dogs now, as people know, for 10 nights. So this is the last day the kids are picking up the dog tonight. Dookie's going home tonight. Today, this morning, my wife takes out the two dogs. The first time ever, Dookie kind of pulls her arm one way. She slips on the ground. The dog gets away, is going after other dogs. She comes up through the house, through the stairs, and she goes, "That's it. Dookie's going home." I thought, grace goes as far as it needs to, and then our grace is done. Okay, folks, we're just asking you, what do you think? Is that crazy or what? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866 K-Praise. Any topic, by the way, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
There's so much tension, so much pain. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Also, the book, HisAppointment.com, for those that have gone through a tough time. You can get a paperback and get a hard copy. We don't sell many of the hard copies. It's not worth it. You should get the same book in the paperback. The hard copy is more money because it costs more money to print. Don't do it. You can get an electronic copy. That's the cheapest that there is. I think it's now it's like $9.99 or something like that. So HisAppointment.com. Should be mostly accurate in the sense of spelling. The rest of it, you're on your own. Quick reminder, half-price tuitions. Go to KPRZ.com. Click on the half-price tuition tab. Also, on the same KPRZ is the tab for local hosts. It'll say on air, and if you click on the on air button at the very bottom or towards the bottom, there's a little link that has all of our podcasts. So if you ever want to get a podcast for any reason, it's not any money, doesn't cost anything. I'm not making anything out of it. It's just the opportunity to hear it under your own circumstances, under your own control. No problemos on that. This is called Catch Up, and we're going to go ahead and play the intro to this portion. Go ahead, Tugboat Todd.
Where is my ketchup?
My old hot ketchup. My old hot ketchup.
I'm ketchup. Every time.
There you go. How do you beat that, right? That's perfect for ketchup, right? All right. Before we get into the actual text, you have two choices. I can read you the text and then tell you the joke, or tell you the joke and then read you the text. I think I'll tell you the joke first. Here's the joke on ketchup. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not. But there was a father tomato, a mother tomato, and two baby tomatoes. And they were walking down the street, and the baby tomato was really moving slower than the other baby tomato, really, really far behind. And then the father went back to where the baby tomato was and stepped on the baby tomato and said, ketchup. See, that's the joke. What? That's a famous joke. I didn't write it. It's not bad. Okay. I'm getting glares. Anyway, Luke, I'll just go into the text then. Luke chapter 24, verse 25 through 27. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, how slow are your hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was written in all the scriptures about himself. This is Jesus talking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so Jesus chastises them, and listen to this line, listen to this statement. And when I read it, I did believe that I do this. I mean, I'm like, wow, I'm guilty of this. I got to do better than this, Lord. Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, how slow are your hearts to believe? I could just stop right there, because I think that's something that I do. Like, I'll read something in scripture. I'll recognize the Lord. You know, he takes, you know, a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, and he feeds 5,000 men besides women and children. So he takes resources and expands them and extends them out. Of course, that's the only miracle in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that's a separated miracle, separated from the birth or the death or the resurrection. But it's like so fascinating that that's the one that's in all four Gospels. Yet when I have some fish and some loaves, I'm not believing God can stretch it out. And the problem there is that I am slow. In my heart, it's slow to believe. Like, I need to get a better pace going here, because I'm moving so slow in my belief system, because it should be. I've seen the Lord provide for me my entire life. And yet I still sit there and wonder on a month-to-month basis, depending on what's due and what we're dealing with, how it's going to pan out. And are we going to be okay? Sometimes I do better than others, but it amazes me that I fall into it so quickly. And it's like my heart, it's slow to believe. And the worst part about it is what Jesus said. He goes, your hearts to believe, how slow your hearts are to believe all that the prophets have spoken, which tells me right away that the disciples and me, well, I'm not that different than the disciples. Because there are some things that I really believe, that I just really think, yeah, I got no problem. I really got that. And then there's other things that I struggle with more so. Like, I don't have any problem believing that God's the creator of the universe, but sometimes I have a hard time believing there'll be an extra dollar for a taco. I mean, it's just bizarre that I would do that. So I'm not believing all that's written. I'm believing some of what's written. And that's a problem. Because I have a slow of heart response, a slow belief system. And my problem there is the Lord is not to blame. He has testified time and time again. I'm going to ask you this right now. You ask this question, you just be honest. Has God taken care of you so far? What's going to stop then? Well, I don't see how he's going to do this, or I don't see when this is going to come out, or I don't see when I'm not going to go through this. It's like it's about what we don't see. But what about if you were a person who could see all of it? Then you could assure other people it'll be fine. I know it's terrible to do, and please forgive me. I do actually ask for forgiveness, but I do liken it unto my dog and me, where my dog doesn't realize if I'm coming home late, guess what? I'm still going to feed him. Guess what? I'm still going to take him out. Guess what? I'm still going to spend time with him. Guess what? I'm still going to make sure he's okay. Guess what? I'm still going to protect him. Guess what? I'm not going to let something evil happen to him. And it's like, that's me, and I'm lousy. But I can't attribute that to God. Because maybe it's like the dog. Because when I come in, it's like the dog thinks I've been gone for 16 years, when I've been gone for 16 minutes even. And it's like he has a complete memory wipe or something. And it's like maybe that happens to us. We have a complete memory wipe and we forget what the Lord does for us. Whoop, well, I forgot. Oh, he's back. I'm so happy. Oh, what about this? What about this? It's just a weird thing because I know it's true in this relationship between me and my animal. How is that not true between me and the Lord when I don't remember? Or I don't keep in mind. And, you can get into the breed and all that. I'm talking about the reality that we tend to be slow of heart in believing all. I believe for some firmly. I think to some degree immovable. And I on other things, maybe 50-50. And some things I just, oh, man, I'm just trying to believe you for this. I think one of the worst things for me is that directional when it comes like 60 or 90 days out. Oh, that's so my weak spot. It's like, it's terrible. Well, what's the Lord going to do? And I know the Lord's up there going, you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about this. I'm not paying attention. I'm just worrying about it. So my point in bringing this up is how Jesus is challenging his own disciples, the two guys on the road to Emmaus, who he says to them, you're being super. In your heart, you're being slow to believe this. And you're not really following because you're not following all of what the prophets, are saying. And even then he goes on, he says, Christ had to suffer these things and then enter his glory, which means they didn't understand that there had to be a suffering Messiah before there was a reigning Messiah, which means they didn't really understand Proverbs 15:33, which says the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom and humility comes before honor. They kind of missed that humility sets the stage, then honor goes afterwards, which is why the first time the lamb came, he was sacrificed. The second time you see the lamb in the book of Revelation, he's honored. So first there's humility, then there's the honor. And then he goes on to say, he explained that what was written in all the scriptures about himself, because the Old Testament testifies to Jesus, but not if you don't understand it. You understand that? Not if you don't get it. But that's not what I'm trying to talk to you about. It's the slow of heart not to believe all the stuff. And there's the Lord going, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I will always help you. And then we wake up the next day and go, what do you got for me now? I want to do better. I hope you want to do better. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I hope you want to do better because I want to do better. We should do better. He's better than we're giving him credit for. Let's catch up. Get it? Let's catch up to it. Because we're running behind in it. Let's get ahead of it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Got to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
I lost my way now. More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I was at this Wellsville City and someone said, what are the values you want to instill in your kids? And Strong and Kind just came to me that night immediately.
Corey Robertson on Focus on the Family Minute describing the two character traits she thought were most important to instill in her children.
I remember saying it that night at the Wellsville City and I came home and talked to Willie about it. And I think strong was because, you know, I had lived long enough to realize that life wasn't always easy, that there were going to be ups and downs and hard times. And, you know, our faith and that strength, not in ourselves, but in God and in knowing that, knowing His power and knowing that He lives in us. So that whenever, you know, our kids do hit those rocky roads, they hit those tough times, they, you know, won't break. They know that God is with them. And then kind was really just for other people. You know, I think kindness is, if we all were a little kinder in this world, it'd be a much better place.
More from Corey at FamilyMinute.org.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
All of us as Christian parents share a common fear that we'll have a prodigal child.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey. Listen as this mom relives the pain of her son's rejection of Christianity.
He went back and traced his pulling away from faith, and it was such a painful thing for me that for a couple days really was almost physically ill. It was like someone had died that I loved very much.
Many of us can identify with that sense of loss and sorrow. If your heart is breaking because of the rebellion of your child, I have some strategies for you. First, keep loving. No matter how alienated your child may be, you will always be mom or dad. Your unique ability to love them unconditionally is a powerful tool, like a huge magnet. Next, pray. God is fully capable of grabbing your child's attention. And third, wait expectantly. In the parable of the prodigal son, we read that the father ran to meet his son while he was still a long way off. He was watching and waiting eagerly. One final thought. You and I at some time were all spiritual prodigals, weren't we? Yet God graciously ordered our circumstances to drive us to the point of crying out to Him. He can do that for your child too. I'm Dennis Rainey. And that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, that I like that song. Breaking Out, that's a good song right there. All right. Couple things to tell you before we get into our DDD. You know, one of the things that came up, I should have brought this up. You know, we were doing the What's Bugging Me. We've already done that segment, you know, for E. Cola. You know, one of the things I didn't mention is something that does happen. There's a really interesting dynamic in this show for me. Not for everybody in the world. I'm not just not putting this on anybody else. But sometimes when I'm teaching like a little bit more passionately or like more devotionally or more like, you know, intensely, okay? Sometimes I have the unfortunate opportunity to encounter my own sharing sooner than I would perhaps desire. In other words, I'll sit there and I'll share something with you and it's like, wow, I got this cool look how you can use this, really great. And then sometimes that comes and goes right into my face and goes, yeah, how's it look? And you know, I gotta tell you, sometimes it looks good because I can use it, and sometimes it's just as hard to process as you would think. Because you're like, I'm going to trust the Lord for this. And that trusting part, again, I really emphasize this, that there's this part of me that does have this really solid confidence and trust. And then there's this waning part that kind of bounces in and out. And it reminds me of the guy that was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then the guy says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And it's like that line right there, that's a great line. That's a truthful line. It's like, I do believe, Lord. I have these areas that are really bad in. So just in case you ever want to know, everybody goes through that. When you go through, I know it seems like it's weird, but it ain't that weird. Everybody goes through it. They don't talk about it, but they go through it. That's what I'm getting at. So you're not alone. And the Lord knows you're not alone. All right, let's get into our DDD, which is kind of going to go right on the heels of what I just shared, ironically. The title of this is It's All Good.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's good. I like that.
It's good.
Yeah, it was a cute movie. Theologically terrible. I mean, if you can't go to a movie and go, theologically, that's terrible, but this was entertaining, I can't help you. Okay? You can't even watch sports. You can't say the word Thursday because you're committing an offense because it's named after the god Thor. So don't use Thursday. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, something everybody is very familiar with. But here is what I would done, when I was reading in Genesis. And then again, it came across in Deuteronomy, so I wanted to share it because what will happen is inevitably there'll be a cool scripture, right? And you'll get that cool scripture. And it's not that you're trying to use it out of context, but sometimes it can be used out of context. And we discussed this about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which really has to do with walking in a contentment as you are closing it with the Lord, and doesn't have to do with pumping iron. It doesn't have to do with finishing a race. But again, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to shout that scripture out while they're doing it to give them a surge or, whatever, as long as they kind of understand. That's not the main core of it, but, no problem. But what happens a lot is something like Romans 8:28 comes into our lives, and then you hinge a lot of things in life around that. So Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, God works for good with those who love him, those who he has called according to his purpose. All right. Now there's a couple of conditions in it. We know God works for good for those who love him. You have to love the Lord for that to apply. People will say, well, it'll all work out. Everything will work together for good. That applies, Romans 8:28, if you love God. It doesn't apply if you don't love God. Because it'll apply if you love God, because you'll spend eternity with God, and somewhere in eternity, it'll work out. And then even here, it'll work out. But it doesn't apply to people that don't love God. So you can't just go around going, oh, it'll all work out. It'll work out. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. It's like, no, it won't. Some people are going to go to hell. That's not fine. Okay? But what happens is you'll take a verse like that, and we'll hinge a lot on that. We'll build on that. And for me, I like to have multiple scriptures that say things like that. I think Romans 8:28 is one of the great scriptures of comfort for all of us. But I don't want that to be the only scripture I'm using. I want other scriptures to give me that same idea, because you can't use part of scripture. You have to use the whole. Now, you don't use the law in the new covenant the way you would use the law in the old covenant, but you certainly use the things that have been taught historically. You certainly use the things that are in the Psalms. You certainly use the things that are in the prophets. You just don't have the same level of accountability in the law because Christ redeemed us from the law. So that's the one caveat. But I want to make sure you understand, all things that are working together for good are for those that love God. There's a love qualifier there, right? But that is not the only passage that states that. And that's what I want you to know, because we'll use Romans 8:28. It'll all work together for good. Okay, A, don't say that to unbelievers. B, don't say that to people who hate God. C, it is a valid passage, and you certainly can use it. And all things typically in these contexts right here do mean all things. But that's not the only one. In fact, listen to this one. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5. The Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Now, this is a great verse. This verse goes Deuteronomy 23, 5. Deuteronomy, just put D-E-U-T, Deuteronomy dot 23, semicolon 5. because this passage tells you that just when people are trying to work something against you, the Lord will turn that into your favor. And it doesn't say because you're righteous. It's because you're his and because he loves you. Well, that goes hand in hand with Romans 8:28. All things are working together for good. God is turning curses into blessings. Now, if you're really defiant and arrogant against God, is he going to turn that into a blessing? Ultimately, because he's going to humiliate you and teach you to be more Christ-like. So, yeah. See how that would work? But that doesn't mean you won't get spanked in the process. I spanked my kids. He spanked his kids. I spanked my kids, and they're all turning out to be outstanding citizens, not thugs in the street wasting money. So, yeah. And producing something in society and procreating. Hello? So the idea there is that there's discipline. There's still a process of that love, but eventually it turns into something better. But wait, I was reading further and came across another passage. I'm thinking, we got Romans 8:28. You got Deuteronomy 23:5. I need another one. That's great. Give me another one. Okay. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good in order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened. There it is, Joseph talking to his brothers, going, you know what? You plotted evil against me. You were trying to do something bad. Guess what? God turned it. Well, that's the key. If all things work together for good, it's because God is turning it. If people are plotting evil and God's turning it into good, that's because God is turning it. If Balaam tried to curse Israel and God turned the curse into a blessing, that's because God turned it. Because God turns it. Sometimes it takes a while for us to get to the right place before God turns it, which often has to be on our knees in humility and honor and reverence. But this is not a one scripture. It's not a one-off. This is a multiple throughout passages. In fact, there are an additional 5 passages that you can use to say that something that was intended one way turns out another way because the intent of God was more important than what was on the surface. These things that are in your life that may have seemed have a sense of evil, that may have a sense of curse, they may have a sense of meaninglessness, all are turnable by the hand of God into something good. That's why it's all good. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back for more. Don't go anywhere. Excuse me, 'cause in his hands I'm changing to a servant of God.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Aitin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. In 2017, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel next fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many other historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renewed vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead the tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. A few years ago, the Gulf War introduced some highly sophisticated weapons that had not been proven under live battle conditions, and most of the troops hadn't experienced war either. Yet both men and equipment worked together to win a decisive victory. Thorough preparation proved to be the indispensable element in that victory. Well, your success in spiritual warfare is also a direct result of how prepared you are. No soldier who values his life would step on a battlefield unprepared. That's why you have to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might and put on your spiritual armor. Since God and His truth is your strength and source of victory, trust Him and use those spiritual resources. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Phrase, the Christian station.
In my heart there are tears.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Phrase, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I hope you're doing good. I do. I'm feeling pretty good, and there's a couple of reasons why. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to give you any dates or timestamps so we can play this one particular DDD later on. You like the way I said that? But I can tell you this, because this could apply at any time in my life. In 12 months, in 52 weeks, in 365 days, I am one thankful person because my son is picking up his dog. And no longer do I have to sleep in bed with me, my fantastic wife, my 80-pound, he's gained a few pounds, my 80-pound Levi, and the 75-pound, 9 inches high, 14 feet wide Dookie dog on my bed. On my bed. You know what one of the most uncomfortable feelings is? Having a strange dog put his paw on your leg at 2 a.m. as he's moving. That, I'm telling you right now, not fantastic. But I'm in a great mood because tonight's the night. That means I'm done. I'm done. He's going to get picked up at 7 o'clock. Ha, ha, ha. Let's get to our next DDD, the title, When We Recognize Jesus. Okay, here's something that I found. Now, we just talked about, just a couple seconds ago, the ketchup. Remember the ketchup one we just did, the DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, that which comes out of Scripture and kind of smacks me in the head? Well, this is the next four verses. So I want you to see something because I caught this and I was like, ooh, I don't think I caught it quite this way. So see if you catch it with me, or maybe you already knew about it and you're much better than I am, but this will remind you. Here's what it says. As they approached the village where they were headed, Jesus seemed to be going farther. But they pleaded with him, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. While he was reclining at the table with them, he took bread, spoke a blessing, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he disappeared from their sight. Wow. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're walking with Jesus. And if you remember what we were talking about, he was telling them that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had written. And so Jesus was chiding them, you know, like, kind of like, hey, how can you not believe? There was scripture. They testify about Jesus, about the Christ, and he's him. So they get to this place, the village that they're getting to, and they're about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Right at this point. And so Jesus acts like he's going to go further. Okay? He seemed to be going further, but then they pleaded with him to stay. Now, you can say whatever you want, but it's like Jesus going, yeah, yeah, great walking with you. And then Jesus keeps walking, and they're like, wait, stay with us. Stay with us. I was like, okay, stay with us. So he went in to stay with him, right? I don't know if that was acting or just, I don't know what that was, but that had to be interesting. So they plead with their new friend to hang out with them, but here's the thing you must understand. Listen to me. They didn't know that this guy was Jesus. Do you understand? They're talking to him on the road. Jesus is teaching them about the Christ from the Old Testament. Remember, no New Testament scriptures written yet. And Jesus is teaching them about the Christ himself out of the scriptures, the Old Testament, which tells you it's there, right? Watch this. They didn't know it was Jesus, but they wanted to still hang out. Ready? I'm going to blow your mind. Ready? Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. Continue in brotherly love. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it.
What?
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So there's a small group of theologians that are like, that's not real angels. But then there's a much larger group of theologians that go, yes, it is, because the whole point is without knowing it. Some people, by being nice to people around them, have actually entertained angels, spiritual beings that they didn't even know were angels. And here is an example of how that works. Jesus walking with the two disciples, and they didn't even know that it was Jesus the Messiah. And they're just walking along and talking. Now, Jesus is going to reveal himself, but can you for a moment think about times that you have met people and you've talked to people, and what if that was an angel? Would you just not go, whoa? Wouldn't that be cool? I can't be the only person that thinks that's cool. It's not possible. Because how cool would that be if you're talking to somebody and then all of a sudden it's like, ding, well, that was an angel. What? That was a what? Get. What? So what happens is they sit down, and look what the scripture says. He goes in to stay with them, verse 30, while he was reclining at the table. I love Jesus because he's always reclining at the table. Instead of standing there prim and proper like they used to tell you to do in the 20s and 30s, Jesus is kicking back. What's happening? I love that. So non-Pharisaical, right? I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't wearing a tie at the table. That's all I can tell you. He's relaxing. He takes bread, he speaks a blessing, he breaks it, and he gives it. This is the model Jesus uses, by the way. It's the same thing with the fish. He took the fish, he spoke a blessing, he said thanks for it, which a blessing and thanks are related. He breaks it or separates it, and then he gives it away. That's how he fed the 5,000, doing the same thing right here. Takes the bread, speaks a blessing, breaks it, gives it away, which we don't do. We take the bread, we speak a blessing, we break it, and we eat it. Jesus, here, you take it. I just to be there, it'd been unbelievable. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened. Wait, what do you mean then? Prior to this moment, their eyes were not open. They didn't see what was going on. They didn't know it was Jesus. But as soon as Jesus took the bread, spoke a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, their eyes were open. What does that tell you? Two things. One, the way to recognize Jesus is in relaxed, intimate fellowship. Because these guys were at the table. Jesus is relaxing. They're eating. They just had a long journey. And in fellowship, centered around Jesus Christ, Jesus is recognizable. Isn't that cool? But wait, there's more. Also, Jesus is recognizable in this action. He took the bread, he spoke a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it. And in the sharing of what he had, he became revealed. And when you and I take with what we have and we give it, we give thanks for it, we break it or separate it, and we give it to others when we're genuinely sharing. I'm not talking about paying a temple tax. I'm not talking about giving an obligation kind of finance that you've committed to. I'm talking about sharing what you have with others. When we do that, Jesus is recognizable. Because that's how he walked. So when we do it, we see what he did. That is amazing. In fellowship and in sharing, we get to recognize Jesus. And we can recognize him in our midst. And the caveat there is you don't even know if there's an angel involved in it. You don't even know what's going on. It's not the requirement. The requirement is for us to follow the example of Jesus. You take it, you speak a blessing, you give thanks, you separate it, and you give it away. In the fellowship of the moment, there's Jesus. In the sharing, there is Jesus. That's how you recognize Jesus. You want to see the Lord? Do what the Lord did. And he'll reveal himself to you. You think, well, is he going to manifest in some kind of unique way? You'll get it. Just do what Jesus did. Do you have to see Jesus to know that Jesus is there? You haven't really seen Jesus yet, have you? Yet you believe he's there. This is what you got to catch. That's how you recognize Jesus, through fellowship and through sharing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. Come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
I was at the Swimsville City and someone said, what are the values you want to instill in your kids? And Strong and Kind just came to me that night immediately.
Corey Robertson on Focus on the Family Minute describing the two character traits she thought were most important to instill in her children.
I remember saying it that night at the Swimsville City, and I came home and talked to Willie about it. And I think strong was because, you know, I had lived long enough to realize that life wasn't always easy, that there were going to be ups and downs and hard times and, you know, our faith and that strength, not in ourselves, but in God and in knowing that, knowing His power and knowing that He lives in us. So that whenever, you know, our kids do hit those rocky roads, they hit those tough times, they, you know, won't break. They know that God is with them. And then kind was really just for other people. You know, I think kindness is, if we all were a little kinder in this world, it'd be a much better place.
More from Corey at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Big shout out to my very own Tugboat Todd, doing a great job in the production room. Master production room. I don't know what but there's two of them, right?
This is the K-Praise Master Control Room, MCR.
Master Control. It does remind me of Lost in Space. This is Master Control contacting Dr. Doesn't it sound a little bit like that?
There's an awful lot of buttons over here.
Yeah, there are a lot of buttons in there, by the way. I will agree with you. By the way, don't forget, we got to tag them and bag them. We got to start doing that, okay? Make sure we get the people are like, what does that mean? Well, we'll tell you later. Tag them and bag. Let's see. We're going to get into our Facebook post because it actually got quite a bit of response, which I always like when people will see a post and it encourages them. I'm not, you know, the posts aren't written to do anything but for all of us to get encouraged towards one another and with one another. And this one is called See the Honor from Our King. We're going to start doing away with Facebook post sounds so because their time is always, you know, it's pretty limited. We get like a 5-minute span. So if you have anything you want to contact me about, just do so. DavidSpoon at KPRZ.com. I'm working still on those half price tuitions for some of those people. Having a little hard time getting to some responses on one of the schools, but I'm working on it. We don't quit until the answer is no. It doesn't hurt to ask is kind of the mentality. But this again is called See the Honor from Our King. This is coming out of 2 Samuel 7. Verse 18, then King David went in, sat in the Lord's presence, and said, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" What a great portion of scripture. One of the things you get right off the bat is King David went in and sat in the Lord's presence. There is no one way to conduct yourself in the Lord's presence, whether you stand or sit or lay prostrate. That doesn't matter. It's the same thing should be applicable in worship. If your church doesn't enjoy people having expressiveness, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that group of people should be blessing one another, and people that like to express should not condemn them, nor vice versa. There's other churches that, you know, if you're going to, you know, stand, or if you're going to sit, if you're going to kneel, you do it in the back of the church, so it's not attention getting. No problem. I mean, that I think that's where that individual part really does come in. That's not what the Lord's requiring or worried about. The Lord's not worried about any of this, by the way. That's just humanity being worried about humanity. But in this passage, David says three things that are, I don't know, they're just right to the heart. And I can relate to this, every one of these. One, he says, who am I? I think that is part of the theme of our humility that we've talked about this hour and last hour. That who am I question. Like David's like, who am I? I'm nothing. I mean, he said in the Psalms, my goodness does not extend beyond thee. I don't have anything good beyond you, Lord. I think that's true. I think when we do good, it's the grace of God. And when we do bad, it's like apart from God. And he's like, who am I? I believe in some sense, it's the same thing that you and I will say to one another, where you feel like sometimes you're the world's biggest sinner because you know better and the Holy Spirit's in you and you should do better. And you have this mindset that says, yeah, I could do better than this. And then you're like, who am I that the Lord gives me such honor that he bothers to put up with me? Which is kind of, I think, how I think of it. And then he goes, and what is my house? Which means David's was just pronounced or told by the Lord that his house was going to be blessed. And he's like, look, I'm not great. I'm not sure that my family's great. I mean, this is such an honor. And you know what? If you're a person that has a child that is a believer, If you have a son or a daughter that is a believer, if you have grandparents that are a believer, if you have parents that are a believer or grandparents that are a believer, if you have uncles and aunts that are believers, you should recognize how powerful that is. There will be less people in heaven than there will be in the opposite direction of hell. It's a narrow road that makes it to Christ, not the wide road. I think the implication is pretty clear cut. There's few that are on it, Jesus said, regarding the narrow road, and there's a multitude on the wide road. Okay. If your family is blessed to have believers, you should be very appreciative. If your children, your siblings, I mean, I am blessed. My brother is a believer like I am. My sister's not a believer. My brother's a believer. It's like, look, I'm so blessed to have that as part of my household, part of my family, part of my life. Every time you hear this show, his music's on for the last 6 months or so many months. And then he says, who am I? What is my house that you have brought me so far? Look how far God's brought you. Look where you are. Look what you've gone through. Look at all the things. Think about where you've been. Think about that to where you are right now. How much has the Lord brought you through? How many things has he delivered you from? How many times has he said yes? How many times has he said no to your protection? How many times has he helped you escape death that you don't know about? Probably more than you can count. How many times did you cry and know that he was there listening? Look how far God has brought you. Look where you started. And look where you are now. That's what David went in to say. He went in to say, who am I? And what is my house that you have brought me so far? You have been so kind. And, you know, for all the stuff that we argue about in Christianity, and for all the people that we argue with who aren't in Christianity, for all that rubbish, there is this. When you come before the Lord's presence and you have that communion, that is touching base to what your eternity will be. Because one of the things we know for sure is that we will be in the presence of God. So that is tapping in. And when you get before the Lord and it's real, that's one of the first things you'll say. Who am I? I can't believe I'm even here. You let me come into your presence? Your kindness is way beyond my comprehension. See the honor from our King right there for you. It's right there for you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.